At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, December 1st, 2022 is the Beating the Book podcast Megapod for week number 13. I got that number right. Week 13 in the National Football League. It is December. Man, 6 weeks left of regular season action. It's Gil Alexander. That's the voice of Jeff Parlay, VEASAN host, staple on this show in the studio right by me. Hello, Jeffrey. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm good.
We're tied now, by the way.
A glacial moving comeback by me.
Well, after a 20-7 start, I believe I've gone 1-8 the last 3 weeks. That'll happen with a 1-8 performance. And then from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, wearing a Yinzer yellow sweatshirt, it is the very svelte Todd Wishnev, everybody. How you doing, Toddy?
Hey.
Very energetic, Todd.
This guy. All right. And our rotating guest for the week, someone who Todd was very rude to a couple years ago on this show, and it sparked much debate.
Unbelievable. Oh. I wasn't rude to anyone, and let it be stricken from the record. Please edit that out. Gil Ice is off his rocker already. Thank you.
OG in sports betting. Using predictive algorithms to determine the results, or to predict the results, I should say, sporting events. The great Dr. Bob. Bob Stoll, everybody. STOLL. How you doing, Bob?
Doing all right. Todd, you were not rude to me. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Bob just has to say that, Todd. We all know that. He's just being polite. Okay.
Gilly has a penchant for a small streak of mischievousness. So
what? I don't know what you're talking about. Bob, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. It's good to see you. We never get to see you, so it's good to see you now. Very clear camera. Well done.
Yeah, new computer.
New computer.
Nice.
Bob comes to us from Colorado. Is Deion Sanders going to be the coach of Colorado?
I hope so.
I don't know.
Either there or Cincinnati,
why would
right?
Take that job?
What'd you say, Bob?
He should take the South Florida job.
Oh, that's the one he should take. Yeah.
It's the least pressure of the three that he's been rumored to be in for.
Now, all the talent they have in the Florida market, which he knows.
Yeah, well, the one thing that is interesting about him is, though, of course, he will make the announcement either to overshadow the final rankings or the portal day on Monday.
They'll actually put the hats on the table like he's a recruit, actually.
That's right. He's got to have all the attention. All right, week 13 in the NFL. A couple things here before we get into our best bets. Dumbbell of the week.
Okay, I'm going off the board this week.
Please.
Josh McDaniels pitched the perfect game of making every wrong decision and got away with it.
It's amazing.
It is incredible that he did everything possibly wrong and the Raiders still won the game.
And they got a premature whistle.
Correct. And they got a lucky break on the Jacobs fumble that they called that he forward progress would be as terrible call. But let's just start. It was all in the second half. Everything McDaniels did wrong. Fourth down and one at the 7.
Kicks a field goal.
Kicks the field goal.
I know.
Okay. All right. Sure. Why not? Why not do that? Raiders then in their next possession, they punt after, honestly, 4th and 6 at the plus 45 in a game where no one's getting stops. Should have been a consider go for it as well. They false start, doesn't matter. So fourth and 11, of course, they're going to punt. After Seattle had that great drive where Geno got strip sacked, fumbled, Raiders get it back. Then he decides to go for it on fourth and one in his own end.
Yeah.
And they run the horrible play call of Jacobs has not been stopped on a traditional run the whole game. They run the pitch play and he loses 4 yards. Okay.
Leads to a Seattle touchdown.
Leads to Seattle touchdown.
Yeah.
Then Raiders go down the field after Seattle took the lead at 34-27. Raiders go down the field, score a touchdown. Now, it ended up working out for him, but with a minute 54 to go and all three of your timeouts, I would have gone for two. In a game where you could not get stops, I would have gone for two and tried to win the game right there. Got away with it. All right, you get the stop, amazingly enough. With 40 seconds to go and two timeouts, in a game, again, no one stopped anyone. You play for overtime. What? How do you play for overtime when you get the ball? Yes, I know you got it at your own nine, but they haven't stopped you all day when Carr hasn't thrown the ball to them. It was truly remarkable. And then in overtime,
this is my favorite one.
The overtime,
yeah,
fourth and two at the plus 38. I know Carlson's awesome usually, but that is an absolutely go for it because if he misses the kick.
The risk-reward assessment
is
terrible.
Yes, it's kind of like with Dallas where McCarthy goes for it. They don't get it. McCarthy gets crushed for going for it. That's an automatic go in a game where, again, you haven't gotten stops. They somehow get the stops. Jacob rips off the 86-yard run. And even though McDaniels pitched the perfect game of getting basically every in-game decision wrong, the Raiders found a way to win the game.
It was amazing.
It was incredible.
It was an amazing royal flush.
I had Seattle in-game four different times and got torpedoed somehow.
I had Seattle pre-flop. Fourth and two at the Seattle 38 with 6:12 left in overtime. He pushes the 55-yarder right. Seattle has a short field. All they need is a field goal. They did get the three and out. Bailed them out.
No, these players bailed them out.
I think that's good for dumbbell of the week, right? Todd, we don't need any others, do we?
I think that's solid.
All right. Did you have an in-game play you wanted to share with us?
I just wanted to share a little in-game thing with you. The Eagles game against the Packers, it was the original line was 46.5 on the total. It was 13-7 with 6 minutes left in the first quarter. So you got 21 minutes left in the half. And the total for the first half was over 36.5. Which meant only another 16.5 more points. I took the over 36.5, and obviously it came in. But what I guess the point that I really want to make about this bet is, I found, and this happens in a lot of sports, where when a game is going wildly over, very often in the in-game, it's better to bet that first, if it's happening in the first half, I mean, it's better to bet the first half over and not the game over, because in the second half you might see massive adjustments, and very often a huge scoring first half leads to a low scoring second half. It didn't happen in this particular Eagle game, but in general, it's something that happens a lot, like in college football, and even in the pros it happens a lot. So something to look for if you like an over that's wildly gone crazy early on. Play the over in the first half on the in-game rather than the full game, because you might get torpedoed by the adjustments by the defense in the second half. So anyways, it was a pretty easy winner because it was pretty clear that Green Bay was going to be able to move the ball, and I knew the Eagles weren't going to get stopped. So
40-33, the final. Well over.
Did that go over
in the first half or almost over in the first half?
Well, it was 27-20 at the half. Yeah, so basically,
over.
I was way over. But then the second half almost went under, and it would have gone under had there not been that, you know, the late field goal nonsense. But very often that's something that you see when you have these huge scoring first halves in games that are going way over what they're supposed to be. There's a regression back because the teams, you know, spend the whole halftime adjusting for the second half with their defense.
Update the records for us, if you will, Toddy.
The records. We have Gilly. He's already talked about his tremendous fall off the cliff to 21-15. He still leads, though. He still leads.
I thought I'm tied with Jeff. No?
Tied with Jeffrey.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's the lead.
Okay.
You're tied for the lead with Jeffrey at 21-15. I am two games back at 19-17. We're starting to right the ship with the teasers. You're both 5-7, and I'm 3-8-1 on the teasers. We've been having some winning weeks with the teasers lately.
What about the guest chair?
The guest chair is 18-18 and 8-4 with the teasers.
That's the most. The 8-4 with the teasers for the guest chair is the most amazing thing. Also, I'd have the lead that Marcus Mariota's Plinko chip went down the right slot.
Don't be giving me the don't start with the if this happened you'd have the lead. I have about 8 of those.
You have at least 6 in the last 2 weeks.
It's unbelievable how many games that I've managed to lose from the jaws of victory. Now, that said, I have won my share of bullshit also, right? I think it's the most... Bob, I'm curious. Let's just have this conversation before we get into best bets. It is my theory that the Plinko nature of the NFL on the side is just getting worse. And when I say this to people... veteran handicappers, they say, well, no, Gil, I think you and I even had this conversation on text. They're like, no, you know, if you can find the percentage of games where Plinko doesn't come in, maybe you're just not choosing the right games. I just feel like that it's a higher percentage than ever before of the games that in the end, if I win or lose, it ain't me in the end. It's just how the ball bounces.
I don't know if there's any data on that. I think there might be a little more randomness due to more coaches going for two, and you feel like, oh, they shouldn't have gone for two, and I lost because of they missed that 2-point conversion, and there's more of that, but maybe they should have gone for two, and you're wrong, and you should have lost the game. I think there's a lot more of that, where you're losing or winning by a point because of 2-point conversion decisions. I feel there's a lot more of that, because I've been on a few of those this year.
That's fair. That's certainly part of it.
Again,
I feel like you've forgotten how much Plinko-ness there was in the past.
No,
there was always Plinko-ness. Crazy Plinko. I mean, as the person who sort of first said that, you know, came up with the Plinko as applied to sports betting, I'm certainly aware of that. But I just feel like, and maybe I am a prisoner of the moment, Todd. You could be right, but I just feel like it has happened in both directions.
I think it's just because we've done a really good job of being on games that have been close to the number.
Good job meaning a terrible job.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Whatever way you want to phrase it. But
you're also.
Hold on a second, Todd. This league.
No, Jeff. What Todd has to say is more important than what you have to say.
But, I want to hear what Jeffrey has to say.
But this league is so damn even at this point.
Yep.
These teams are so close to each other in ability.
Well, that's what it is.
That's why these games are coming down to, and again, that's why the Wong teasers getting annihilated early in the season were kind of, in retrospect, is ridiculous. Because this league is so bunched together.
Well, but it was the favorite. But it was the favorite.
That's
favorite
right.
Leg.
The favorite coming down.
So it
the
makes sense.
That's why we've all adjusted. We've taken the underdogs the last few weeks, and the underdogs have been coming through on teaser legs.
People love teasers this week, though. All right, you want to start with the best bets? Let's do this. We start with the guest, as always, the great Dr. Bob, my friend Bob Soul. What is your first best bet, sir?
I like the over in the Jets-Vikings game. Gil, who do you think leads the NFL in quarterback success rate the last 2 years, minimum of 4 games played?
Mike White played 4 games?
He did.
He's played 5.
Mike White.
And he has the highest success rate of any quarterback in the league, 54.2, compared to Patrick Mahomes, 53.8. Now, success rate, well, the thing about Mike White is he plays within the system. And that's all the Jets need is someone to play within the system, take the check down. They have a good defense. They don't need Zach Wilson going off script and trying to throw the ball, force the ball down the field. That hasn't worked for them. The thing about Mike White is when he's off, he's throwing 3 interceptions, and that could happen. But that's not necessarily bad for an over either. Interceptions can be returned for touchdowns. So the Jets offense certainly better with Mike White. I'm not anointing them as one of the better offenses in the league, but they're certainly better with Mike White instead of Zach Wilson, who has a career success rate of 39%, by the way, which is very low. Jets offense gets Corey Davis back this week, a really good compliment to Garrett Wilson. When Davis is out, they've struggled offensively a little bit more. Speaking of Wilson, and Elijah Moore both did some damage in the slot last week. I think that's going to work again. Vikings nickelback Shannon Sullivan ranks 3rd to last among qualifying nickelbacks in yards per route run allowed in the slot. So I think that slot game is going to work. Mike White doesn't mind throwing those short passes in the slot. Jets running backs tend to get a lot of balls out of the backfield, and probably more with White as quarterback. Vikings are 30th in the league in yards per target allowed to running back. So I think it's a good matchup for the Jets offense. Vikings have been playing well offensively all year. Getting Hockenson has helped a little bit because Justin Jefferson now has a little more room to work. I mean, Hockenson's taken that intermediate route in the middle, and that opens things up on the outside a little bit, and they've been going downfield a lot with Jefferson, which has been working for them. So I think both teams will be able to score here. So I predict the model predicts 49.4 points, and I think over 46 or less is a good bet.
What is the total we're saying for Bob?
44.5. Hey, Gil,
mm-hmm.
That's my number one play as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I was on that too, but not as my number one play, but I have.
That's my number one as well. The Jets offense with Mike White is, to me, at worst, not at worst, but it's league average at this point. When with Zach Wilson, it was in the bottom of the league. The Vikings defense stinks. And every point that Bob made leads me to thinking this game's going to go over. There's one other factor, too. Cleet Blakeman's crew is officiating this game. They are a high defensive pass interference, defensive holding, illegal contact crew.
Good knowledge.
So Sauce Gardner, as great as he's been, is a very physical corner. DJ Reed is a physical corner. The Jets are going to get called for penalties they have not been called for this year in this game, especially when trying to cover Justin Jefferson, who is just playing like Jerry Rice right now. He's been insanely good the last month. So I think this is a high-scoring game that gets aided by the fact that Minnesota's offense is good. The Jets' offense is now league-average offense as opposed to a bottom-tier offense. Minnesota's defense sucks, and the refs are going to call penalties in this game. So I think this is 31-20. I think this game's in the 50s. So I'm with Bob. I'm over 44.5
here. Todd, is that one of yours?
That was going to be my third one, but maybe I'll go with a different one.
You don't have to.
Okay, I'll decide.
All right. well, you're up. So what did you got first?
I'm going to go with the New York Football Giants. How many points am I getting?
Two and a half.
How dare you?
New York Football Giants plus 2.5, just simply for the mere fact that the Washington Commandos have won every single game and covered, I believe, 6 out of 7 games in a row. Am I correct about saying that? Let me just check that. Yes, 6 out of 7. They've covered at Chicago, Green Bay, at Indianapolis, won all 3 of those games, lost to Minnesota and pushed, getting 3, and then beat Philadelphia, beat Houston, and then beat Atlanta in a game that they could have easily lost and would have been nice for me had they lost.
Depends on where you got that Washington-Minnesota because they won on that line for many.
Depending on when during the week. It depended. Yeah.
Okay, so that makes it even better. So that would have made them 7-0 against the spread. It's very difficult in the National Football League to go 7-0 against the spread. It's just the kind of league, as we were talking about earlier, that's going to go back and forth because the lines are so tight. And now you're going to ask the Commanders to continue
dollar in a jar.
This amazing run of football. And granted, they have a good defense. The Taylor Heineke is better than that other guy. And now you're asking them, you're saying, okay, now you're going to go on the road and give points. Now, I know the Giants have been overrated. I know the Giants did it with smoke and mirrors. I know all about the Giants. The Giants aren't good. Home team, divisional game. I just think you're getting the 2.5 points. This game has 17-16 written all over it, 20-18, some ridiculous, number like that where it gets inside the 2.5. Give me the Giants to shock the world and all the people that will be putting their money on the Commanders and my friend Gilly Ice, who thinks the Commanders are going to the Super Bowl with Mark Rippin Heineke.
I don't believe I've ever said that. Yes.
It's a problem for me. My number two pick is the exact same pick that Todd just had.
That's happened to me last couple weeks.
It's not your turn yet, Jeffrey. Yeah, So
I'll just get this out of the way before you do 2 in a row, Gilly. Yeah. I think the wrong team is favored in this game. I know the Giants are the smoke and mirrors team. I thought this should have been Giants as the slightest of favorites in this game at home. Washington has covered all these games in a row. What are we calling interceptable balls? Are we calling them
itches.
Heineke is itching all over the place recently. It just basically feels like it's the good vibe Carson Wentz where the turnovers just aren't happening.
That's a Bob. That's a interceptions that should have happened. ITSH itches.
So
you're scoring at home.
I think Heineke's going to have one of these games. It's coming. It may not come this week, but the fact that I'm on the Giants, my hope is it comes this week where Heineke's throwing 2-3 interceptions on balls that should have been picked the last month plus. I mean, 5 weeks ago, this team was an underdog to freaking Sam Ehlinger. I mean, come on now. It's been a little bit of a charmed run for Washington. Now, Washington plays the Giants. This is a weird scheduling quirk. Remember this, Kelly.
Yes, I was going to bring this up.
At the Giants bye week, and then they get the Giants at Landover in 2 weeks.
So if Washington wins this game, oh boy, huge advantage for Washington.
If Washington wins this game,
yeah,
Washington Commanders are going to make the playoffs.
Yes, indeed.
If they lose this game, then that game in 2 weeks is of the utmost importance for both teams. But I think the wrong team's favorite here. I'm going to take the Giants plus 2.5. And the fact that Todd and I have agreed on 2 is very alarming so far.
Very alarming.
Yeah.
Yes. My number 2 pick is the Washington Commanders. Let me just start there.
Okay.
So before the Giants lost these last two games, let me just take you guys down analytics road. The Giants at that point were 7-2. They were 5-1 in games decided by 7 points or fewer. Their biggest win had been by 8 points. They had been outscored 131 to 123 through the first three quarters of their games, but then they would magically go plus 22 in point differential in the fourth quarter, which is top 5 in the league. Shout out to Bill Barnwell for those numbers. Also, Wink Martindale's defense was 26th in EPA per play outside the red zone, but then magically when they got inside the 20, they became the league's best unit. That is bend, don't break, as people like to say, but that's not sustainable. So they've allowed teams to make it to the red zone third highest rate. That was up to the ninth game of the season when they were 7-2. They had allowed teams to make it to the red zone at the third highest rate of a per game basis, but then only allowed those offenses to convert 38.2% of the time. Only the Broncos were better. So basically, and we'll add to that, on first and second down, the Giants had been the league's fourth worst defense by EPA per play. And then on third and fourth down, of course, then they morph into the third best defense. So, okay, one more. So despite the fact that opposing offenses had the fifth fewest yards to go to pick up on third downs, they were the third best defense at avoiding conversions. Timely turnovers as well. So the smoke and mirrors team, ladies and gentlemen, is not the Washington Commodores. It is the New York Football Giants.
But we agree that they're the smoke and mirrors. We never said they weren't.
They're both smoke and mirrors.
Really, what I heard more from you is the smoke and mirrors of Washington, not so much New York Giants. So we can rewind the tape. We can rewind the tape.
The Giants.
I believe it's my turn.
You got number one now.
I believe I heard what I heard. Anyway, Todd is shaking his head. He's in dismay as if he didn't just knock Washington for 30 minutes. I believe it was 30 minutes.
I didn't. I just said they covered 7 games in a row, and in the NFL, it just doesn't happen.
But you talked about how they were smoke and mirrors, not the deep dive of how smoke and mirrors the New York Football Giants are.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
I'm going to take, as long as Washington is under 3 points, which they are,
I am taking the
Washington football team, because here's the other thing. I think they're better almost everywhere than in every phase of the game than the Giants are. They're my number 2 play. My number 1 play.
It's going to be fun on Sunday.
My number one. Yes, it is.
When I'm texting you.
My number 1 play is going to
be a pick 6 to start it off on the Giants. Let it 7-0.
That's how his texts sound.
What? Like the old school 1940s reporter?
Yeah, what was that? Why the Hindenburg is coming. Okay, Seattle is 7 against the Rams.
Go ahead.
7?
Yeah.
I'm taking the Seahawks. I don't like laying 7 points. I don't like laying 7 points on the road. But the Rams have nobody. They ain't got no Matthew Stafford. They ain't got no Aaron Donald. They ain't got no Cooper Kupp. Seattle, as Jeffrey laid out very nicely, should have won that game against the Raiders this past week. I actually think if you do your power rankings in the NFL, you might actually have the Seattle Seahawks still at 10. They could still be a top 10 team by some people's could rankings. I'm taking the Seahawks. I don't really feel any need to elaborate. I loved Bryce Perkins in college, bet on him a lot. But he's more of a guy that will beat you with the legs than he will with the arm. So they have to be aware of that.
Beats himself with the arm.
Yeah, beats himself with the arm. I like Seattle. I'll give the 7 points. If I get beat, so be it. That's my number.
I got a supporting trend for you, Gil.
Thank you.
You want to hit?
Please.
Hit go. Pete Carroll, off consecutive losses, and this is even when his teams were terrible, like last year, off consecutive losses, his teams are 19-4 straight up, 19-3-1 against the spread since he's been the coach of the Seahawks.
Whoa!
It's pretty good.
Even last year, when they were terrible, they lose two in a row and they'd cover or win.
See, I didn't even know that.
There's a little team trend for you. Not that I'm basing anything on it, but it's worth noting.
It is
that the Seahawks, especially after a bad defensive performance under Pete Carroll, are more than likely to turn things around after two consecutive losses. He is a great motivator.
He is.
And that is a motivational spot.
Thank you, Bob. That's awesome. I like
that. Look at
that. By the way,
let's put it that way.
Pete Carroll 25-1 now to win Coach of the Year. Dropping, though, after the last couple of weeks.
My only concern with Seattle at this point is, have they peaked already? When you have a team, and this game, by the way, that you just picked.
I don't think so.
This game that you just picked is in the running for the game I don't want anything to do with this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just curious, because they had such low expectations going into the year, which were wrong. We were wrong on that, no doubt. But I wonder if the magic carpet ride for Geno Smith at some point crashes.
I agree with you, Jeffrey.
So could Seattle still make the playoffs? Of course. There are a whole bunch of teams that are very similar in that race for the 6 and 7 seed in the NFC right now.
I think you guys have, maybe appropriately so, but I think you guys have muscle memory on Geno Smith.
And that's more than possible.
And I think every time Geno Smith does anything bad in a game, Todd will text, "Oh, here comes Geno Smith." And by the way, he does it in that awful voice, if you put a text in voice mode. And what I think is, we forget, and I've said this a couple times before, and I really believe this, we forget there was a time in the NFL where guys held a clipboard, and I'll use it again from the Washington perspective, whether it was Mark Rippon, whether it was Stan Humphries, whether it was Trent Green, they held clipboards for years. And you know what? After they held it for years, they were pretty awesome at quarterback. And so I think in this case, in Geno Smith's case, would I have predicted it? No, let me not go that far. I'm not that great. But, like, I don't know that we should be that surprised.
About their defense? Their defense is horrendous.
That's the other concern, too. That defense has started to
fall off.
They're
playing Bryce Perkins, though. So yeah, let's go.
Mine was more a long-term thing. Like, they're 7-point favorite. They should win the damn football game on Sunday.
They should.
And if they don't, then the question I just asked is going to be asked pretty much by everybody.
If they lose the football game, sure.
The only thing you have to worry about, Gil, is that Pete Carroll, this stinks of a Pete Carroll over-conservative offensively game.
That is true, yes.
Like, final score 26.
We do not want to make any mistakes here. We will win this game if we don't turn the ball over. I think they're going to try to run the ball a lot more. Could be good, could be bad. I mean,
that has served Pete Carroll well up until the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
But yes, there is always that.
It's Todd's turn. I already burned my first two.
Todd.
Wait a second. McLaurin in the – he fumbles. The Giants have it. It's 14-0. Giants already. I can't believe it. Hey. sorry about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, my second pick.
Where on the spectrum do you think you are? I'm just curious.
Far over to the third standard deviation.
Okay. Just curious.
Okay, so my second pick is going to be the Detroit Lions. I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions. How many points? Am I getting a point in that game, Jeffrey?
You are getting one.
Although, it's funny. There's some books that have them favored by one. But yes, you're getting... I don't know.
I'm going to take the Detroit...
On
my screen in front of me, I'm seeing Detroit plus one.
I'll take pick or one.
We'll give
whatever.
You one. We'll give you one.
Detroit Lions plus one.
I'll give one.
I just think that something's going on over there. First of all, that Buffalo game was eminently winnable by Detroit, and not with smoke and mirrors. Like, they're really not bad. They can move the ball. Their defense, I'm not saying their defense is anything great. It's not. But that Giants game, they were down 6-3. They got the turnover, and then they just dominated that late first half, early second half thing where they scored, and they scored again and put that game away. That's something a good team does, and that was on the road at the Giants. The Bears game, granted, they got really lucky in the Bears game. I will give them that. And then they beat Green Bay the week before that, but they hung in against Miami. The week before that at home, they were ahead of Miami in a ridiculous first half. I think the score was like 24 or 27.
Yeah, there are two touchdowns in that game, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, they were beating. Now, granted, before that, they had some stinkers. But in the last five games in a row, they seem to have really figured something out here. Jacksonville, I think they're maybe average, slightly above average. I don't know what they are. Granted, they beat Baltimore, but what's Baltimore anymore? You know, the Raiders game, okay, they beat the Raiders in a game the Raiders gave them. I don't have a lot of faith in Jacksonville going on the road and playing amazing. So give me the Detroit Lions. I think so. There's like green shoots of something good happening in Detroit.
Green shoots?
What? Yeah, you know, like green shoots when it's just starting to sprout, you know, something new is starting to. You never heard the term green shoots?
I have not.
Dr. Bob, I'm sure, has heard that. You've heard green shoots.
Gil did not grow up on a farm, neither did I, so I have no idea what he's talking about.
Okay. Anyways, green shoots means like, you know, it's just like something starting to sprout over there.
Todd grew up on a farm. The thing about the Lions, I will say this, and this is going to be just like completely anecdotal, but they do feel like they are the team that leads the league in the most, have no reason not to win this game, and then finish with a final drive where you're left thinking that was what they came up with to try to win the game.
Well, this week, Campbell was an honorable mention for the dumbbell this week with the way he managed the clock at the end of that Buffalo game. They ran an extra play in front of the 2-minute warning that, in essence, cost them the game.
Oh, right.
You know, Detroit.
Right, but that was Buffalo. That was against Buffalo. A really good team.
Look. Detroit has been much better the last 5 weeks than they were at the beginning of this season. So, but again, when you have a coach that is not particularly good, you find ways to lose games.
Jacksonville has found ways to lose games.
They sure have, Bob. They sure have. They sure have.
Yeah, for sure. Remember,
maybe they were a green sprout last week, though.
Yeah, here's my notes on that Detroit game. Fourth and inches at the Buffalo 48, 45 seconds left. St. Brown for 7. Second and 15 at the Buffalo 47, 15-yard pass to St. Brown. Lions have all 3 timeouts. Waste 10 seconds, but apparently was a timeout. Lions settle for a 51-yard field goal that hooks in with 23 seconds left, and the Bills went down. So that was the thing about that. It was so funny because you and Kelly were on air, because I was talking to Kelly and he was like, we couldn't figure out what was going on. I had the benefit of audio and couldn't figure out what was going on, which was, did Dan Campbell just decide not to use a timeout? And then because there was a replay, retroactively got one, or did he actually call it?
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. All right, Bob.
But I never thought they were going to beat Buffalo. I just thought they were going to hang in.
And they did.
Bob, you get a snake here. You get 2-3 here.
Oh, look at that. We were talking a little bit about the Seattle Rams game. I like the under. I took under with the Rams last week. I'm going under again. Couple reasons. Obviously, the Rams offense right now, can you think of a worse offense recently? Maybe 2018 Arizona Cardinals with Josh Rosen at the end of the year.
Hey, don't be anti-Semitic. Don't do that, Bob. Not on this show.
Maybe. you know, they're averaging only 16.2 points per game for the season. And now they don't have Cooper Kupp, and they're at a third string quarterback. Allen Robinson was the only other running back who was above 0 in expected points added. He's out. So it's Bryce Perkins averaging 2.8 yards per pass play and 3 replacement level receivers to throw to. And not only are the skill positions horrible, but the Rams are last in the league in pass blocking efficiency. So this offense, no bueno. The only thing that points to that helps the overall is that Aaron Donald is out. But I already mentioned that I think this is a Pete Carroll conservative special. I think they're going to just, let's not make any mistakes. Let's run the ball. Let's not, you know, throw the ball down the field too much and cause interceptions. Let's just hang on to the ball. And I know the Rams' run defense is not going to be as good without Donald, but it's still going to be decent. I mean, they're a good run defense. They're not going to fall apart completely without Donald. And Seattle ranks, what, 30th or 31st in success rate offensively running the ball. They have a lot. They had a lot of big plays early in the season in the running game. But success rate is more predictive than, you know, the big plays. And they have not been able to run the ball recently because people are kind of like, oh, let's just avoid giving up the big run play. And the success rate running the ball for Seattle is not very good. I think they're going to still try to run the ball a lot, and that I don't think is going to work. As far, you know, the Rams have some, you know, some matchup, some good matchups in the secondary. Jalen Ramsey is still a top cornerback. He'll probably shadow Metcalf. Tyler Lockett obviously had a good season, but Troy Hill's a good nickelback. But I think there's some things going on that matchup-wise are going to help the Rams defense even without Donald. And I think part of it is Pete Carroll playing conservatively. I don't think the Rams, even though Seattle's defense is terrible, I don't think the Rams can score more than 14 points against anybody. So I like the under there.
What number are we giving Bob there, Todd?
I think it's 41.
41, right?
Yeah.
41.
Yeah, 41. I released it earlier in the week at 42, but I'll go under 41.
And let's just
the only way you lose is if Bryce Perkins throws three picks in his own end, which theoretically could happen, but that's the only way you lose.
Well, the thing is about running quarterbacks, they don't throw a lot of picks as they tend to take off and run.
Right.
Right. He didn't last week until the end of the end of the game.
Where he had to throw.
And let's just, for people who are newish to sports betting, newish, because we always have to keep that in mind, what Bob is talking about, and Bob, you'll back me up here if I say anything wrong. Success rate versus sort of explosive backs. What someone who you always prefer in terms of predictive, from the predictive angle, you prefer someone who's getting 4 or 5 yards a chunk consistently, as opposed to someone who's getting 1 yard, 2 yard, 1 yard. We'll just make it a bizarro example. 0 yards, -1, 74, 0, 1, 0, 1, because that sort of pollutes the predictive nature of anything. Is that correct? Generally?
Oh.
I could.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, well, he said yes. I guess he said yes. Okay. You're up?
No, it's Bob again.
Oh, no, Bob. You're snaking, Bob. You're next.
Oh, all right. I don't really have a great... I like the Raiders. I used them earlier in the week in a teaser. And that teaser no longer applies. So I still like the Raiders here. It's one of those situations where... The Raiders on expected points added per play are 0.043 higher than the Chargers this year, but they're underdogs at home. And the only reason is because their record sucks. When you compare the records of the two teams, Chargers have a better record. I think that the only reason that the Chargers would be favored is because the win-loss records are so different. But on the field, the Raiders have actually played better than the Chargers this year. And if Corey Linsley is out, Pro Bowl center for the Chargers, and he is in concussion protocol, only 25% of players that are in the first week of the protocol actually play. So it's likely that he's out. That makes a big difference. Herbert has been pressured at 2.5 seconds or less, pressured 28% of the time this year, which is a league high. When Linsley is not in the game, that goes up to 38% pressured within the first 2.5 seconds. That's not good. You got Max Crosby going up against the right tackle, Pipkins, who's terrible. So I think Crosby's going to be in the backfield the whole time. They'll get pressure up the middle if Linsley doesn't play. And without Mike Williams might try to play at the high ankle sprain. Probably not. And if he does play, probably not that effective. I mean, last week, Herbert had a career low 3.8 air yards per attempt. And I think they're going to have to get rid of the ball really quickly again. So I don't think they're going to have the explosive plays down the field. I just don't think it's a good matchup for the Chargers offensively with the injuries that they have. And I talk about Josh Jacobs running for 200 plus yards last week. Why not do that again? I mean, The Chargers are last in the league in yards per run allowed at 5.4. So Jacobs should have another good game. Derek Carr is getting more adjusted to his new receiver group after the injuries to, you know, some top receivers. He's starting to play better with the new guys. I think he's averaged 7.9 yards per pass play the last 2 weeks. So he's starting to come around with the new set of receivers that he's gotten. I just think the Raiders are at least as good as the Chargers and should be favored by a couple points. So I'll take the 1.5.
There it is. 1.5 or one? What is he getting?
Todd, I'm seeing one in pick. One in pick.
We'll give you down. Oh yeah, plus one.
Yeah, it's mostly pick now.
I see plus ones.
You do?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. It's plus one at Circa, and that's
one thing I will say real quick. The AFC playoff race, as ridiculous as this is going to sound, the Raiders are going to have a say in it. This game here, they play New England in a few weeks. Obviously, they had a say in the NFC playoff race last week. That AFC chase for that 7 seed, because I think Cincinnati, even with that absurdist schedule, is going to find a way in. That race for the 7 seed between New England and the Jets and LA is going to be fascinating to watch the last 5 weeks.
NFC too, by the way.
Yeah.
Both for sure. Todd, your final, what do you have left? You have got one left?
He's got one left.
I was going to go with that over 44 in the Jets Vikings. That was what I originally wanted, but I'm going to do something different because Bob and Jeff are both on that already. I'm going to go with...
very suspenseful.
Oh, man.
Very suspenseful.
Instilling a lot of confidence in this pick.
That's a great point. Boy, this is great.
I'm going to go over in the Dolphins.
You need to borrow a coin, Todd?
Dolphins, the Dolphins and 49ers well, over 46 and a half, Toddy?
That I don't like as much. But I'm going to go over 46 and a half in the Miami Niners game. You know, Miami's been the consummate over team all year. Great offense, defense, not so great. Obviously, this could go under if the Niners shut down the Dolphins. But does anybody really shut down the Dolphins? I know that my stores had a big game on a, believe it was a Sunday night down there where we held them to 16 points. We couldn't get the W, but we did hold them to 16 points in that. But, I just don't see a lot of people stopping Miami on offense. They're just so, you know, awesome on offense. Minnesota did stop them. But was that game with two? I think was two in the Miami game? I don't think he was.
Yeah, that was the first game back. Tua's first game back after the concussion was the Pittsburgh game.
Oh, okay, right. So Tua was out for that game. So with Tua, Miami's offense has been, you know, pretty outstanding all year. Obviously, we know all about the receivers. And I think that the strength of the Niners defense is up front rather than their secondary. So maybe Miami can move the ball on the Niners. And I don't love the Miami defense at all. So I think the Niners will move on them too. So over 46 and a half, you usually don't get such a low number on a Miami game, but it's, you know, it's due to the Niners defense, obviously. Kansas City did score 44 points against the Niners. So there have been some times Atlanta scored 28 against the Niners. There have been some times where the vaunted Niners defense did not 100% show up. So let's hope that happens this week. And I'm going to go over 46 and a half in the Miami Niners game.
Good games in the NFL this week.
Yes, and we are stuck watching the game I'm going to take in Sunday night because the NFL didn't want to change on Jerry Jones for whatever reason.
Brutal.
So I'm going with a Wishnev here. I'm going under in the Cowboys and the Colts at 44 and a half.
I was almost going to do that one too.
I'm sorry to steal what you've done probably, I think, 7 times already with the Dallas under, but Jeff Saturday was also in the running for the dumbbell with whatever the hell that was at the end.
Didn't use his first timeout until 30 seconds.
It just was ridiculous.
Which, by the way, we should clarify, the timeouts would have gotten used still in that time frame. It's just the fact that you rushed your third down play for no reason, not using it.
Correct. As soon as Matt Ryan slid, it should have been an immediate timeout. Correct. Should have been an immediate
Matt
timeout.
Ryan, who slid too early, and then after the game was like, you know. I didn't know, you know, you should have known where it was.
He's a lucky. He's not an experienced runner, Gilly.
Bob, you wanted to say something?
The thing is, you've got a 30-something, close to, you know, old quarterback who just ran 20-something yards. Yeah. I need to take a breather.
Yeah.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It was so
plus, he was tired from the week before when he ran for 40 yards against the Raiders.
That was 2 weeks ago, Todd. 2 weeks ago.
All right. Well,
I think he's recovered really in 2 weeks.
Todd's like,
he was tired.
Even more my point then. Two weeks ago.
All right. So under 44.5 in Dallas and Indianapolis on Sunday night. Indianapolis's defense isn't completely terrible. They have their moments. They've been good at times this year. This feels like one of those where Dallas gets out to like a 17-0 lead, and then they just try to take the air out of the football the entire second half. And Matt Ryan will get sacked by Micah Parsons probably 3 times. He'll, at least one of them will knock Indianapolis out of field goal range in the Matty Ice special. So I'll go under 44.5 in Indy and Dallas.
Team total, by the way, team total for under in the Colts, if you can get under 17.5,
yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
That's delicious because you know Matty Ice is going to take some sacks.
Yeah. First all female officiating crew for the Germany Costa Rica match coming up.
Yes, that's correct. That.
By the way, I saw all the Lukaku misses. My God.
Lukaku had 2 expected goals and scored 0.
I had under 2, so I was very happy.
You're very lucky, Toddy.
All right. I had Belgium not to advance at like +4 or something, and I wish I had bet more money on it.
Got home on it.
Okay. I'm going to give you my third pick, and I'm going to let the hate wash over me. Before I do, let me just ask Bob a question. Because Aaron Schatz, our buddy over at Football Outsiders, he has the Minnesota Vikings, the 9-2 Minnesota Vikings, rated 22nd in DVOA. Where do you have them?
I'm going to have to look this up. Hold on a second, Gil.
We get another view of Bob's home as he shifts the camera. Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I got to move
Bob
around.
Bob looks it up. Bob, are you still looking?
Yeah, I'm still looking.
Okay, while Bob looks, I'm going to tell you in my goulash model that, Gilly, I have them down much further, maybe not 22, but I have them down much further than what you would be. They're not good on defense, and Kirk Cousins is still the quarterback. Enough said. They're not good on defense. They're really bad on defense. I don't know if I've mentioned the defense.
I have them middle of the pack.
Middle of the 15th, pack.
Yeah.
15th. There you go. I agree with Bob.
Based off of what you said on guessing lines on Monday, I'm not surprised by what you're doing.
Yeah, this is all guessing lines for me. When we guessed the lines on Monday, not only me, but Kelly Bidlow was incredulous at this line. I thought Minnesota would be much more of a favorite in this game. They're a 3-point favorite. As long as it's 3, they're absolutely a pick for me. Chris Sims had a very interesting point about Mike White the other night. Which I think he's the only, like, he seems to me to be the lone voice saying this, which is, all right, I got your Mike White. He was awesome through the rain. Nothing bad to say. However, they really, in one respect, did Zach Wilson a disservice because they threw Mike White in against the Bears after trading their biggest players on defense. And so Mike White was allowed to play this defense, which would make him look good. Zach Wilson was not allowed to play against this defense, which would have made him look good. And so here we are. And now what he was saying about the Jets in general, he goes, now you can never go back to Zach Wilson, which was his bigger point. Listen, obviously we've liked Mike White. He did throw 5 touchdowns and 8 picks last year. I get it. He threw 4 of them in one game. So that's a little skewed. But only 3 points on the Vikings here. I'm not ready to anoint the Jets quite yet. And I like your point about Sauce. Sauce Gardner for a rookie has gotten a lot of leeway playing cornerback. I expect at least 1 or 2 flags going his way this week.
Again, the main reason that I was fully planning to go head to head on you on multiple games this week.
Yeah.
And I backed out and went with that over instead after seeing the officiating.
Yeah.
That concerns me. Because the Jets are significantly more physical than Minnesota, to Todd's point, because Minnesota's defense is bad that they can't cover anyone. But that's my only concern as a Jet fan in this game, that Minnesota is going to get a bunch of points in this game on penalties that will get called by this officiating crew that will not get called by most officiating crews.
Yep.
That is the main reason I did not actually come in here and go head-to-head with you on the Jets with this one.
Sauce Gardner, meet Justin Jefferson. And listen, the Vikings, I don't think they're world beaters either. I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl. But they're essentially the same team they've been. It's just that the Plinko chip has gone their way this year. And so I'm giving the 3 without compunction here on the Vikings.
Here comes the first push of the year for anyone.
Oh, yeah, we haven't had a push yet.
Somehow, our picks have not had a push.
That's amazing.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good point. Okay.
Hey, by the way, Gil, to clarify, I just looked it up.
Yes.
I was having computer difficulties when you asked. I have the Vikings 25th.
Whoa!
One point But 1.6 points worse than an average team. That's injury adjusted.
25th.
1.6 points worse than an average team.
What are your top five, Bob, if I might ask?
Well, now I have to go back.
I'm so sorry. Silly me thought they were listed, you know, in numerical order, that they wouldn't be that hard to find.
Not numerical order. Surprisingly, the model still likes Baltimore.
Oh, Bob.
Top five team. Huh. So now we're going alphabetical. If we're going alphabetical order, I'll give them to you in alphabetical order. Baltimore, Buffalo, Dallas, Kansas City, and Philly in alphabetical order are my top five.
Okay. So Baltimore's fifth is what you're saying.
They're in the top five.
They're in the top five.
I think they just find ways to do stupid stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think what the modelers are noticing is the fact the Vikings are bad on defense, but I think the offense is actually pretty good. And that's why I would put them slightly more in the, you know, mid to late teens than the 20s.
Let me ask the follow-up question. So Kelly and I had a numbers game, like everybody does. We do our power rankings. This year, and this I'm not being prisoner of the moment, and this is factual. This year, we have had the least movement from week to week. We just do the top 10. The least movement in the top 10 from week to week in any year ever, period. Because so many of these teams are actual dreck. They're not good. The middle of the league is soft. So the Baltimores of the world, like, who hasn't had some combination of Kansas City, Philly, and Buffalo as their 1-2-3? Who hasn't had the Cowboys, I'm trying to think, the Niners, 49ers, yeah. the Ravens, and the, you know, as the next group. And then who hasn't had, like, the Bengals, Dolphins, or whatever? Like, then it gets to start getting a little murky. But essentially, every other year, that stuff would change all the time. Not this year.
I think there's 12 teams that you can consider for your top 10.
And then it falls off.
And then it really falls off after 12.
I would consider Minnesota one of those, quite frankly, but I guess I'm in the minority here.
Minnesota, to me, again, their offense right now is very different because Justin Jefferson is playing at a level that is insane how well he has played the last month. I was fully ready to come in here, have the Jets as one of my top three picks today, but again, the officiating in that game is going to play a role.
Sorry about that Washington Atlanta ending.
Man, that was so bad. That was so bad, Mariota.
Yeah.
Wait, is that Heineke down on the field? It is. Oh, my. Heineke's out. They're going to have to go to the backup. Who even is the backup now?
Carson Wentz is still there, isn't he?
It's like a shrill in the ear.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the teaser of the week. Bob, we start with you. Two-team, 6-point teaser of the week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Yeah, I actually released one this week, but it no longer qualifies. I took the Raiders plus whatever it was, 8.5, and the Jags plus 7.5 or 8 early in the week, and that is no longer available. So I had to scramble here, and I'm decided I'm going to go with New Orleans plus 9.5 with the Giants plus 8.5. And the Giants have only lost by 8 points or more twice, and Washington's only won by more than 7 once. That seems reasonable. And New Orleans they have the same defensive scheme that they've had in recent years with the new coaching staff. So that hasn't changed. And that defensive scheme has given Brady some trouble recently. Losing Wirfs is huge. He was probably maybe the best offensive tackle in the league. And now he's down. They're down 4 starters now, the Tampa Bay offensive line. It's pretty easy to scheme against a team down four starters, and Brady doesn't like pressure up the middle, and they haven't been playing well anyway. So I just think it's going to be a fairly close game. I do think the Bucs defense will step up, and New Orleans is not going to light the scoreboard on fire. But I think staying within 9.5 is fine. And like I said, take the Giants plus 8.5 is the other part.
Well, you're going to hate me for this, but where do you have Tampa, Bob?
Oh, Gil, now I have to go.
I didn't realize this was so difficult for you to find.
No, it's not. I have to pull it up on my screen. Hold on a second. Surprisingly, they're not that much better than average. I still have about 2 points better than average, which is puts them in that.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Ten to 14 range. That's in that, because I think their defense is better than it's been.
Now, there was another dumbbell of the week potential with Todd Bowles, with the way he utilized the clock.
I don't even remember the details.
Well, they didn't let Brady go down at the end, and also,
was strange, right? Yeah. They were like, we'll play for half. Yeah. We just completed a pass.
Yeah, very, very strange.
That was odd.
Shocking that Todd Bowles, who, again, was not a good head coach with the New York Jets, is still not a good head coach with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He'll always be a Super Bowl champion in the burgundy and gold. All right, Todd, you're a teaser.
I'm going to go with the Ravens minus 2.5. I don't really want to explain why, but I believe they're playing a guy named Hackett. So I'm going to take the Ravens minus 2.5 at home, and the Bengals plus 8 also at home against the Chiefs. I think the Bengals are getting their house in order and going for a playoff push now. And, while they may not win the game, I think they can definitely keep it close against the Chiefs plus 8.
Well, I guess by default, I got to put the Giants 8.5 in there since that's one of my picks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the second leg is tough this week because a lot of these favorites that are in that range to tease down, there's something that is...
What could possibly go wrong
with Deshaun Watson's return to Houston?
Oh, wow.
What could possibly go
wrong? I would suggest staying away from that.
No, I'm not doing that. I think I'm gonna upset some of the math people here. I'm going to take Atlanta only to 7 here against Pittsburgh. The Steelers aren't beating anyone by a touchdown. So I'll take Atlanta up to 7 as a second leg.
Atlanta was a huge consideration for me. In the end, I decided to do something that I know I'll regret and go Seattle and Baltimore.
Oh, teasing two favorites now.
Well, that's not one, but two. That's the total what could possibly go wrong. That is totally the what could possibly go wrong teaser leg. I just, again, hack it, as Todd said, and then I have the Seahawks, laying the point, so I might as well tease them down to essentially have to beat the Rams.
And that Baltimore one, even though there's nothing that Denver has shown that they should be able to play that game closer than a field goal, that Raven team, like I said last week, they scare the crap out of me.
They do.
They really do.
They do. In the negative way. They scare the crap out of me. Yes. No, I'm with you. But the thing about Hackett, and again, this is apparently, I didn't mean for this to be the prisoner of the moment themed show today, but do you, who has been worse than Hackett through 10, 11 games of the season?
Okay, I'm quantifying all this by the non-Urban Meyer division.
Yes, because that's Urban his own category.
Urban Meyer is his own category because of the off-the-field
stuff. Right.
Tom Sula is up there. He's up there in recent memory. I mean, Denver's had... look at the collection of coaches Denver has had since Kubiak retired.
Fangio was bad early.
Fangio was better, but he was still bad. Vance Joseph was not good. I mean, it's crazy that Denver... Again, they have gone... Since Peyton Manning retired, haven't been able to find a quarterback. They're coaching that... Kubiak, who I thought was always an average coach, is Bill Parcells compared to the last three guys they've had.
We've had at least 4 Hackett incidents with the Hall of Famer being your home crowd counted down your play clock for you.
It's Ron Lynn-esque.
Ron Lynn.
Oh, wow.
How about Mike Tice? Mike Tice, I always used to thought.
Mike Tice made the playoffs, Todd.
He was terrible.
Made the playoffs.
Go back.
Ron Lynn was the worst in-game coach. So many mistakes. Let's throw a fade at the goal line every single time and see if that works this time. I mean, they could not score in the red zone. They made so many mistakes in decision-making when he was the head coach of the Chargers, who were one of the most talented teams in the league and just couldn't win.
I know Lynn made the playoffs. Anthony Lynn in the discussion, but Hackett.
We're talking about Anthony Lynn, right?
Anthony Lynn,
yeah. Anthony Lynn.
I mean, Anthony Lynn is still probably. I mean,
he's a Hall of Famer.
What Hackett has done with a roster that, again, remember before the season, the Denver Broncos by the betting markets were a consensus playoff team, which ended up being obviously very wrong, but they have gone from potential playoff team in 12 weeks to, oh my God, this is an unbelievable all-time train wreck for that franchise.
I will say this about Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn was also torpedoed by the fact that, like, Philip Rivers would do some dumb shit at bad times in games also.
The
biggest Anthony Lynn thing is the punctured lung. We would never have gotten Justin Herbert on a field if a team doctor had not punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
Not that soon, at least.
But if you watched Hard Knocks, Anthony Lynn had no intention ever of playing Justin Herbert.
Not year one.
So, like, the fact that you can see this guy in practice every single day and never consider playing him, you're like, no, we're going with the other guy. Even one time of that Hard Knocks, he's like, oh, the kid throws a pretty good ball. I'm like, oh my God.
No kidding.
So that was kind of bad. Where do we go to here? Did I get my teaser? Yes, I did. Okay.
Favorite to lose.
Yes. We get to the final two questions. By the way, do we have any Thursday night football thoughts tonight? Bills, Patriots, real quick. We usually do that at the top.
We skip that.
All I'll say is, before Deion Dawkins was ruled out, I was very much ready to consider Buffalo tonight. Because this has the feel.
If it gets a three,
I'm probably going to end up with it. This has the feel of what. Remember last year, the first game was that wind ridiculousness where New England had Mack throw three passes and New England out-toughed them. Hmm. The second time they played in Foxborough was, I think it was week 17, where we all thought, you and I both thought, New England's going to win the game. They're going to win the AFC East. Buffalo's going to have to go through the wild card. And Buffalo went there and beat the living bejesus out of them. It would not shock me if that happens again tonight. I think New England's defense just got fat and happy because they played Zach Wilson, Sam Ehlinger, Zach Wilson.
New England just taking money. Bob, what do you make of this game tonight?
I make it three.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and by the way, I don't like to go against Belichick after a bad defensive game.
It's true.
And there's some stats to back it up. Under Belichick, when the Patriots have given up more than 28 points, they are 35-10 against the spread the next week. And look it up with the post-Tom Brady era, 8-0.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Look it up this year. I mean, anytime they give up 27 or more in the last 2 years, I think they're 9-0 against the number the next week in the post-Tom Brady era. So the one thing that has continued for the Patriots is when they have a bad defensive game, they tend to cover the next week. So I wouldn't necessarily be betting on New England here, but I'm not going to bet Buffalo.
All right. Feels in-gamey to me.
Probably. Matthew Judon against a backup left tackle would scare me if I had Buffalo tonight.
By the way, if Buffalo, I said this on a numbers game this morning. I have two bets that I made because of the Chris Mortensen report about Josh Allen's UCL a couple weeks ago.
You have a Jet and Dolphins.
So I have Jets and Dolphins AFC East futures, which if they get home is complete luck for me because I thought he'd be out, Josh Allen. Turns out he's played and has not been as good, so maybe not completely lucky, but I have like the Jets at 20-1, the Dolphins at 5-1. If the Bills lose this tonight, they'll be 0-3 in the division that is completely bunched up.
They will have lost all three divisional road games.
That's correct. So
with the Jets and Dolphins coming up the next 2 weeks.
You're behind an eight ball if they lose tonight. That's big, this ball game tonight. All right, final two questions, as they have been for every single episode of the Megapod since its inception. First, which of the big favorites is the most likely to lose outright? Your candidates, Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson, the return of Deshaun Watson. 7-point favorites on the road against the Houston Texans. We're talking about outright here. Baltimore Ravens, 8.5-point favorites at home against the Denver Broncos. The Seattle Seahawks, 7-point favorites on the road against the Los Angeles Rams. And the Cowboys, Sunday night, 10.5-point favorites against the Colts. Which of those four, Bob, do you believe is the most likely to lose outright?
None of them, but if I had to choose one, I'd say Cleveland, because you just don't know what you're going to get with Deshaun Watson.
I would think it's a big Nick Chubb game. That's what I would imagine.
Yeah.
It is Houston.
The rest of them I certainly don't see losing. So I guess Cleveland would be the one.
It is the Houston Texans, as some handicappers like to say. It is the Houston Texans Super Bowl going up against Deshaun Watson. So there is that little element. Todd?
Yeah, it's the same one I have. Who knows what you're going to get from this team with now. I don't know what the massage capabilities are in that stadium, but I don't know. I think who knows what you're going to get.
His first start in 700 days, serving an 11-game suspension for alleged sexual misconduct. Says it right there on the screen.
He's played there.
What'd you say?
I said he knows where the massage room is in Houston.
That's right.
Not from the road team locker room. He knows where the home team locker room.
Jeffrey.
Baltimore Ravens to the Hackett-led Broncos.
Oh, because that defense is good.
What Bob said is right. I don't think any of these big favorites lose, but there is just there. As I said last week, and it proved out perfectly because the way the Ravens blew that game to Jacksonville was kind of what they've been the whole year. There's something wrong with the Ravens. I just can't put my finger on what's wrong with them.
I'm with you. Yeah. I think it's Baltimore.
Yeah.
As bad as here's the thing, you have to deduct 2 points for Hackett.
I mean, look, Baltimore could win this game 21-6.
Yep,
very easily.
But since I asked the question, I think the answer is Baltimore.
Yeah.
All right, and then we live in a bizarro world, and you must bet a side, Bob, on every single one of these games, but you are allowed one free pass. What is the game you want no part of?
Baltimore, Denver.
There you go, Baltimore. I was good, Baltimore. Bob, you look good without the glasses, by the way. Bob stole everybody without the glasses.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Todd, what game you want to part of?
I don't want the Eagles-Titans game. I don't want Eagles because I feel like they're starting to have some little cracks in the armor. And also, you know, Vrabel can pull something out of his tuchus. But on the other hand, do the Titans have enough talent to stay in this game? So I'm going to stick away from that game.
Does Sirianni annoy you as much as he annoys me, by the way? I think I'm on an island with this.
Yeah, there are some people on Twitter that are with you on that. I love the guy, but I could see why he rubs people the wrong way.
Great games, though, this weekend. Todd just mentioning Titans and the Eagles. Actually, tonight between the Bills and the Patriots is awesome.
49ers, Dolphins.
Washington, the Giants, and then the Jets and the Vikings. And, of course, what you just said really might be the best of the bunch, right? Dolphins, Niners.
That's and Cincinnati.
And Cincinnati, and Kansas City's
wow, awesome, too.
What a week.
No, on paper, this is going to be awesome, which means the best game of the week is going to be
Indianapolis,
gonna be, Dallas. Going to be Jacksonville and Detroit.
Yeah.
My answer to your question is Green Bay and Chicago. They both suck. We have no idea who's playing quarterback for either team. No, thank you.
I got one. Monday Night Football.
Okay.
Tampa Bay, New Orleans. I want, that game I would want no part of. By the way, why isn't Jameis playing? Are we just done with, he's never playing again?
Forget that. Forget that question. Why is Andy Dalton still playing? I don't care if you play Jameis or Taysom Hill.
Similar question.
Play someone other than that, dude.
I fast forward to Monday night. I can't imagine being interested in this football game. Like, I just can't imagine a matchup that I will be less interested in. I'll probably in-game it, but I want no part of it pre-flop. We've done all we can do. Megapod, Week 13, National Football League. Jeff Parlay and Todd
Wish. Wait, before we leave.
For heaven's sakes.
A 32-yard field goal set up here for the Giants. It's gone! The Giants with the upset! Oh, hallelujah!
Todd, when you were a child, did your mom, was there episodes like this where your mom was just like, we've got to make him an Orthodox Jew immediately? Was that how that happened? Or did you just, yes. Were you born into it? Yeah? Really? All right, God.
Just telling you.
I can't wait now. And of course, our guests, kind enough to join us on the Megapod every year. And Bob, I'm asked by Kelly to say, will you be on a numbers game at your standard slot tomorrow? 8:15 Mountain?
Yes, I will. Okay. We'll be celebrating a 5-2 on the season win totals that I gave out on your show before the season started.
College football season win totals. Last year, you were like a million and zero, weren't you? Like last year was
11-0.
Yeah.
And this year, I ended up 8-3.
That's a nice run.
Nearly got the 9-2 with East Carolina. I needed East Carolina to lose. And Temple needed 1 yard and 2 downs to pretty much ice that game and didn't do it.
So basically,
and then East Carolina got the ball back and scored to win.
An off year for you.
So I clearly went 9-2, but 8-3.
Would you say that college football season win totals now officially, if you had to say one thing you do better than anything, is that your bread and butter now?
Well, I'm 55 and 23 on those, Gil. So
there's your answer. Jeez.
Yes.
Good God. But that's the beauty of season long, right? You can overcome negative variance. Although in college football, it's harder to overcome negative variance than any sport, right? Because there's only...
Yeah. I just spend a lot of time working on my team ratings in the offseason, so...
That you do. I've seen it with my own eyes. He does indeed. Hardest working man in sports handicapping. Dr. Bob at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com for all that he does. And by the way, Carl Sack, greatest NBA handicapper out there as well, in the Dr. Bob fold. Give Carl a
He's
shout.
He's having a nice start to his season, too.
He's had a couple unlucky outcomes here the last couple ones. Like,
yeah, I think he's still 13-3 or yeah. something like that.
The Spurs led all game last night, then they end up losing.
Yeah, he had that push. He had that push the other night with Atlanta.
Yes.
With the ball.
Yes.
And then they had to foul at the end. They made both free throws to push.
Yeah.
You know, Philly made both free throws to push. I was like, it looked like a winner the whole way.
He's awesome.
But I think he's 13-3-1, if I'm correct.
Even with those. Yeah, he's incredible.
Even with a couple of rough ones lately.
Thank you, Bob. He's having a good start. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Jeffrey. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. Week 13 in the National Football League.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.